Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I am doing well. Good. And today we're going to talk about, indirectly a little bit, about the shutdown and what it has. Mainly a follow-up on this anonymously written article by a Trump administrator that was sent to Daily Caller. They said, well, maybe this could be some good come out of this. You know, maybe it's going to expose the government for what they really are, and it'll smoke out the resistance. And I guess sort of as it's a dream article. The way I looked at it was, you know, with the plan that we will know who the good guys and the bad guys, the people who weren't very necessary, and we can let them go and readjust when we get serious. So that might be a daydream, but anyway, it's an interesting article to point out the fact that that maybe we can get some good information. But what I liked about it, it was, and this sort of reflects, you know, Trump's position. So this anonymous person claims he works with the Trump, and that is, the longer the better. Yeah. Let's stay closed down. We're learning a lot about this. We're learning who the good guys are. And some places, you know, they're totally unnecessary. Nobody has missed them. The thing that I have been most impressed by is the clamor is coming, the complaints more come from the people who work in the government. You know, when are we going to, you know, drift back into our safe and secure place? Yeah. Rather than the people say, hey, I didn't get my check, or I didn't get this and whatnot. Even when there's less TSA agents around, nobody seems to be complaining about that. So I think if this is a true approach, which I think it is, and Trump is with it, that they want to turn the shutdown into a learning experience, and maybe that's good. So let's help them along.
And I felt optimistic because I thought maybe there's someone that's in the senior administration official who might be a little friendlier to us by just based on some of the things he wrote. But here's how we started it, and this was in the Daily Caller earlier this week, a couple days ago. A great quote: as one of the senior officials working without a paycheck, a few words of advice for the president's next move at shuttered government agencies. Lock the doors, sell the furniture, and cut them down. Now, that's really interesting. He goes on to say, this lapse in appropriations is more than a battle over a wall. It's an opportunity to strip wasteful government agencies for good.
You know, I want to tell a little story about when I was drafted into the military. It's not directly related to a close down, but it's directly related to how government operates. I was drafted at the end of 62 during the Cuban crisis, and I had to go up to Selfish Air Force Base and get my admission physical to be drafted in the military. And I remember that I went up there, and there was a crowd of people who had to get this physical. They gave me no special privileges there. I had no quirks and perks and that all. So the corpsman there says, here, he says, I need you to fill out this paperwork, triplicate. And it had to do with my history and all this and social history and everything. In triplicate, I said, you don't have a car. No, you have to fill it out. It's required. So this is a terrible story. But it's my first impression of direct contact with the government. So I sit there, and I do it, and I fill out three, and I go up, and I finally hand it in because I hate writing this scribbly stuff on it. So I hand it in, and that led to the corpsman taking it, and he sorted it out, and he took two copies, which were several pages, and tore them up and threw them away. And I said, what are you doing? He says, I said, why are you doing that? He says, that's what the regulation says. So nothing surprises me anymore. And although I made the best of being in the military, there was a lot of waste there. But the whole bureaucracy, the whole principle that government is going to take care of us, whether it's at the airports or wherever, it just isn't a true story. They get in the way. They cause more harm. So that's why some people are saying, maybe we shouldn't bring these people back. Maybe we should sort it out. And I think that's the theme of the article. Sort this out, and if they're non-essential, what are we doing? You know, they'll probably get a pay raise next year due to the inflation that the government created.
And you know, that's what you say about your experience in the Air Force is really captured in the article too, because he says most people are just concerned with process. Has nothing to do with getting things done. It's just process, like this guy tearing up your things. But this anonymous he or she this anonymous senior official said on an average day, only about 15% of federal employees are actually doing their job, as he or she notices in the office. The rest of them, well, they can't be fired. What are they doing? Planning their weekends, scheduling a vacation, maybe even doing a second job, maybe planning their next position, next promotion. This is how they're spending their time, but of course they're being paid.
Yes, and you know, I think some of this can be very, very beneficial. Not only could it lead to maybe streamlining the government, I'm a little bit cautious about that, but I do think there's going to be a day that will come when we're going to have to deal with the subject. Not so much that it's done, you know, in a calm fashion and orderly fashion, but I think learning how to get along under these conditions, like you mentioned, it's going to come. What's going to happen when there's the ultimate close down of government? What happens if government doesn't function and the checks don't buy anything? It's happened in other countries, and it can happen here. And then people are going to have to resort to taking care of themselves and working. I think the most important thing is people will be working, you know, in their communities, their families and communities and churches. And if the government would just stay out of our lives, I've always argued that if we lost all our wealth, but we had a concrete understanding of what true liberty is all about, I think people would be back on their feet shortly, and we'd reclaim the wealth and the whole works. And this is just an introduction to this notion. Are these people necessary, and how much do they make? Are we going to rehire them? Are we going to fire them all? It's a good discussion. So when we next time I hear Trump say, this is going to last a long time. I mean, I thought, oh, why is he saying that? That's not good politics. But what we need to do is turn that around and explain why it's good to keep the closure down and why we should learn a lesson from what's happening now and figuring out how government actually operates.
So what would you do then if you're in charge? You read this article, you realize, gosh, 85% of the people that we're paying aren't doing a thing. And they're away now and things are going better. And if you're in charge, what would you do?
Well, there was one suggestion that just quit paying them. Tell them your job wasn't any worthwhile. Just fire them. But I'm not a radical. I'm a moderate because we've teased these people in and there might be circumstances and they'll be bleeding hearts. So I would be a moderate on this. I would say that what we need to do is say, yes, we did this study, and only 15% of the people in this organization are necessary, and they can do the work. So your job is over. But it's but we're going to be very generous because you've been tempted to get involved in this, and say that your job will last. We can make it 3, 4, or 5 months. That wouldn't be important, just so it was deliberate. You're done. You're not coming back. We don't need you, and we're going to have a transition. You ought to be able to find a job, you know, somewhere in that range if it's 3 or 4 months. If go out and find a job and take care of yourself. It's amazing how energetic they would be. Mises had, you know, then people will say, where am I going to get the job? And, of course, jobs are plentiful now. But his argument about jobs is just take the job you can get with the whole idea that another job will come along. So I would think that that has to be done, but it's more likely to occur with the ultimate financial crisis and the close down of government. So I think that what this is doing is helping to prove what we all know, at least anybody that associates with that, the government's inept. Yeah. And too many people are lazy, you know, and you have to say that because, you know, there are some very decent people involved.
Oh, yeah.
and the people who you know, are in resistance and, you know, trying to tell people what's going on. I mean, they obviously, you know, are good people. But sorting it out is the big thing. And maybe if nothing else, if Trump helps us sort this out and say that we do need a rearrangement, you know, the swamp has not been drained, but maybe as a consequence of this and the drainage of the swamp becomes an absolute necessity for financial reasons, we ought to be prepared, and this is a test case for learning how to be prepared. Actually, People are always preparing, especially in other countries, and it's already here. And that's called the real market. You know, some people call it the black market, but that's the real market where they survive by working on the weekends and not paying their taxes because taxes are too high and they have no money to take care of their kids. And the other, I mean, there's always a marketplace. Just think, in the Soviet system, they had a market. And all the, even in the, it was notorious in Italy and the other socialist societies, oh, they do pretty well, but there's always somebody, you know, getting around the system. And this is what this group of people is trying to do, but we should encourage them to do that, to make sure that they know it's over. You don't have a job anymore. You were non-essential.
Yeah. And to your point on that, you know, you're always hearing from government employees, I'm paid way below market rate because I'm doing public service. Well, this is a great chance to test out that theory. If you're being paid way below what you would normally be paid in the free market, now's your chance. If you're furloughed, go out and find that higher paying job. Go for it.
Yeah, if they're that productive. The other thing is measuring productivity in government. The whole thing about the military, you know, we need a military, and we should have a defense, but it is very bureaucratic. And when you think about $707 billion that we're spending, most of it overseas and propping up jobs, the bureaucracy, it gets hard when you try to look at this whole thing. You look at the bureaucrat that we're visualizing in working in the bureaucracy in Washington, but really the military industrial complex, well, that's private industry, you know, but it's corporatism and fascistic, you know, and all these things, and that's where the middle class people get ripped off. Because yes, we could argue that the salaries, productivity wise, in the government, they're way overpaid. But what about the people who make magnificent wages building bombs that we don't need, and then we take them and we bomb people we don't need to be bombing, you know, and of course. What I think is unbelievable is all that activity goes into calculating the GDP and say, oh, the GDP is, and the stock market's been high and the GDP is up. Everybody's okay, except there's a lot of anger out there. People who are, even with all this recovery, there's a lot of people who are suffering, and the middle class is suffering a whole lot. I mean, the numbers, I think, are real when you start talking about homelessness and people have a difficulty pay the bill. Matter of fact, the people in government that are arguing, look, I'm missing my first payday, and I don't have money in the bank. Just think of the millions of people in this country. You know, if we have a significant downturn, there's been statistics to show there's essentially no savings. They might have enough to go a week or two, and if they have an extra emergency, it's all over. So I would say that we should learn a lesson, an economic lesson, a political lesson from this, that we should realize that why waste all this money in useless government programs?
And back to the interesting article, here's another interesting point that he makes is about sabotage. He says he spends about 50% of his time on the president's agenda and 85% of his time trying to stop sabotage. You know, because these are the permanent state, the bureaucrats working there who are trying to undermine, what their boss essentially is trying to do. He said actually with the furlough, the agencies are operating even more effectively.
Yeah. And you know, that happens, but it isn't always a no government solution for this, because individuals will substitute, but even local governments can take up some of these things. This whole thing about the parks, you know, the national parks, when they can't fund them, you know, as long as they left the door open, people made their way in. They said they were volunteers and local government officials would go in and, you know, keep it functioning. They didn't need, you know, thousands and thousands of bureaucrats from Washington keeping these national parks open. That doesn't mean you have to be, say, well, we're going to sell all the national parks. Yeah. You don't have to do that, but you could have the idea that maybe local people can run these things without, a lot of people that are non-essential.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess closing up is an article that we put up, Dr. Paul, on the site. It appeared on Reason originally, but you know, the TSA workers now, they're all really furious because they're not getting paid for all the wonderful things they do for us, and so they're calling in sick and doing all sorts of things. Here's a great article titled, Dr. Paul, Please TSA Workers, Don't Come Back. You know, and this just shows how non-essential these people are. But the message to America is that you're paying for this. You're paying for these non-essential workers out of the money that you're working hard to make to keep your family together. And these people are non-essential. They're unproductive. We got a little bit of an insight. And a lot of us that have worked for government can tell you for sure that this is accurate. So hopefully, the other thing is John Stossel, he tweeted out earlier today, the media is always calling about this is a crisis. Do you really feel that you're in crisis? The fact of the matter is you're not. We can do without a lot of this. And hopefully this will cause some people to start thinking, hey, the world didn't end.
You know, one thing is the motivation is wrong in the bureaucracy. Because what we're talking about is if you point out that that things aren't going well, so their goal is to make sure that they're necessary. And one group of bureaucrats actually use the other bureaucrats to refer and to build it. But if somebody's going to say there's perfect result, there's no problems, and this sort of thing, this undermines the need for government. So I think the growth in the budget is going to continue. We're going to have these problems, but it's the philosophy of a government. How much can we do ourselves without government? It's the dependency on government. And the whole thing is not complicated. It starts with the whole idea that the Constitution and the founders were interested in having limited government solely for the purpose of protecting liberty and not to run the world, not to run our lives, and not to run the economy, and not to have a central bank printing money. That was not the reason. The purpose was the confidence placed in the people to take care of themselves and that they would do a better job than government. And that just terrifies the socialists and the Marxists and all these people because they have to justify their existence because they work on the assumption that they are smarter and better than the average person. And though they get power and they get the masses to join in, they're actually very much opposed to the masses. They want the masses totally dependent on their great wisdom. And that is because they think we've allowed over the century or so to accept this idea that the purpose of government is to be involved in doing this. The purpose of government should be strictly limited to promoting and protecting the cause of liberty. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.